We've been talking a little bit throughout this month. We've called it Stretch Month, and we've been inviting you to invite others to church with you, to experience God. And I want to encourage you, we want to keep on with that. We have a goal, and we want to increase our numbers by 200 throughout this month, and that's going to be done by you going and inviting people to church that need to be invited to church. We have invite cards for you on the way out today. Those are simply tools for you to use wherever you go. I want to encourage you to grab some of those, three or four of those, and invite some people that you encounter this week to come to church with you next week. Because you know what? God is doing some marvelous things in his church and through his church. Not only in this congregation, but in congregations around the world. But you know what? We belong to this congregation. And we want to do our part in the world. And we want to be a congregation, a called out people that truly are on mission with God and really believe that God can step in and change lives. Come on, do you believe that today? So we're going to continue with that thought process about the invite and what that really means for us as the church. There's a remarkable passage of scripture I want to bring to your attention today. And it's the last paragraph of all of our Bible. It's Revelation chapter 22. And these are some of the last words that are recorded in our Bible. And I think these are significant words because they really speak to us, the church. And this is what is recorded in Revelation 22, verse 17, the last paragraph of the Bible. It says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the water of life, let them come. This is a really important statement at the end of the Bible, a paragraph at the end of the Bible, because it tells us something as a church that is remarkable. It says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. Who is the bride? The bride is the local church according to the scripture. The bride is the ones that have been caught out of darkness into the wonderful light. And we're a gathering of people, and the groom is Christ Jesus himself. And the Bible says that one day Christ Jesus is going to come back for his bride. And that's going to be an awesome time. Could it be today? Yes. Could it be next week? Yes. Could it be next month? Yes. Could it be 10 years from now? Yes. Could it be 100 years from now? Yes. But the Bible makes us a promise that Jesus is coming for his bride. But in the meantime, it says the bride has an assignment, and that assignment is to reach out to those who are thirsty, who are hungry, who are desperate, who don't have any hope, and the bride is to partner, everybody say partner, partner with the Spirit of God and invite people to come. So today we're going to talk about what it really means to partner with the Spirit of the living God. And what we're to be doing is going out into this world. We do Bible studies so that. Everybody say, so that. So that we're equipped and prepared to go out in this world and say, come. We come to church to worship Jesus and to be encouraged in our faith as we come together so that we can go out into the world and say, what? Come. So that, you know what, we can go into the marketplace and say, come. So that we can go into our homes and say, come. So we can go into the city and say, come. So we can go into the state and say, come. So we can go into the country and say, come. So that we can go internationally and say, come. We do all that we do to strengthen our relationship that we have with Christ Jesus and partner with the Spirit and go into the world and keep extending the invitation and say, Jesus is who he says he is. Why don't you come? See, that's who we are as a church. We're to be a church that's extending an invitation over and over and over to those who are desperate in this life, who are living in darkness, who don't have any hope, who are down and out. The Bible says we are to partner with the Spirit and say, come. So let's read a little bit about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and what Jesus said to his early disciples before he ascended into heaven, before he was nailed to a cross and ascended into heaven. What did he say about the Spirit of God? And it's found in John chapter 15 and John chapter 16. And we're going to read a few verses there. And then we're going to talk about how we partner with the Spirit of God. But in John 15, Jesus tells a story about a vine and its branches. And it says, we're the branches and he is the vine. And we're to stay connected to the vine so that we can produce a lot of fruit. And he goes on to say at the end of all of that analogy, he says this in John 15, verses 26 and 27. He says, I'm going to send you the advocate. The Spirit of truth is what he calls the advocate. He will come to you from the Father and he will testify about me, is what Jesus says before he goes to the cross. He says, and you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry, talking to those first disciples. He says, there's a spirit that's going to testify about me, the Holy Spirit. And he says, and you who have been with me need to testify about me because you've been with me since the beginning of my ministry, who I am. So he says, the Spirit is going to testify about me, and you, disciples, are to testify about me. And then in John 16, he begins to continue to talk about the Spirit, beginning with verse 5. He says, I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I am going. He says, instead, you grieve because of what I've told you, that I'm going away. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, look what it says. He will convict the world of its sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard. He will convict the world of its sin. And of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I, Jesus, go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been a judge, Jesus says. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now, is what he tells those first disciples. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father, Jesus says, is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he has received from me. And so the Bible here indicates that the Spirit of God is working in this world. The Spirit of God is at work whether we choose to go to work with him or not. And again, the Bible says the Spirit of the living God is convicting the world of its sin. You know what that means? That every time something happens, that the Spirit is at work in whatever happened, bringing attention to whatever happened to let them know that humanity has missed the mark of God's glorious standard, that the world is full of sin, that we were born into a world that has missed the mark of God's glorious standard. You want to know why there's evil in the world? It's because we have been born into this world that is full of sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard. However, God has sent Jesus into the world to forgive that sin. That's what he gave his life's blood on a cross. And to show you that sin has no power, the Bible says he resurrected from a grave. And now that he's resurrected from a grave, he is sent the Spirit of God to live in the believer, but to also work in the world in the non-believer's life. And so again, the Spirit of God, if you have believed in the finished work of Christ on a cross, lives in you. He lives in me. But know that the Spirit is at work in the world around you. And so the question for all of us is, how do we partner with the Spirit who is at work in the world and do our part and work with him? Because the Bible says in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride, the church, say, come. In other words, they work together in the world to invite people to come to the one who will fill their life, who will give them a drink, and they will never be thirsty again. But what you and I have to learn to do is we have to learn to partner with the Spirit of the living God. So what is our part in order to partner with the Spirit? Well, the first thing I wrote down is this: we need to learn to pray. Everybody say pray. Prayer is a way for you to align with God. And we need to learn to pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to talk about this for just a few minutes today. Because a lot of us have a misconception of what it means to pray in the Spirit. In other words, at the end of the day, God says that, you know what, we're to partner with him. And if we're going to partner with him, that means we need to go to him and ask him, where is he at work and what is he doing? And we're to pray in the Spirit, the Bible says, on all occasions. And what does that mean? That means I have to continually be praying in the Spirit in any occasion, in any time, in any place, in any space. I got to be praying in the Spirit to the Spirit. And so, again, let's look at what the Bible says about this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. And whenever we put on the full armor of God, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. He says in Jude verse 20, he says, build each other up in your most holy faith and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16, you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves, speaking to believers. You have not received a Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when you was adopted as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. All of our praying is to be done in the Spirit, not just part of our praying. All of our praying is to be done in the Spirit, not just part of our praying. The Bible says pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And again, praying in the Spirit is that our prayers are moved and guided by the Spirit. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. That my prayers are moved and guided by the Spirit of God. Now, some people would equate that praying in the Spirit equates, that means I'm speaking in tongues. But no, praying in the Spirit, you don't speak in tongues on all occasions, but the Bible says you speak in tongues. You know, that there is a gift of speaking in tongues, but it doesn't say speak on tongues on all occasions. In other words, every time you pray, you don't pray in tongues. And the Bible says we're to pray in all occasions, pray in the Spirit in all occasions. That's why I would say that speaking in tongues does not equate, you know what, that I'm praying in the Spirit. Though you could be praying in the Spirit as you're speaking in tongues, the Bible says we are to, guess what, pray on all occasions. That means that I'm aligning with the Spirit. I'm asking God to align me with the Spirit, and my prayers are moved and guided by his Spirit, not by my flesh. See, a lot of times our prayers are guided by our flesh and not by God's Spirit. And again, the Bible speaks to this in James chapter 4, verse 3. Let me show it to you. It says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. He says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because what? Your motives are wrong. You want only what gives you a pleasure. And so operating and praying in the Spirit invites others to come to a place of seeing God. And again, it's me going to God and saying, God, would your Holy Spirit help my spirit agree with you in this occasion on what you're doing? So how does that work out when I invite others? That means when I encounter somebody, I begin to talk to the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and ask God, God, what are you doing in this person's life? Would you minister to my spirit? I don't want what my flesh wants. I want what your spirit wants. And so that's praying in the Spirit. When you encounter a person or a situation, God, I don't want what my flesh wants for this person. I want what your spirit wants for this person. Show me, as a Christ follower, how to minister to this person. And so a lot of us miss this because we're praying in the flesh saying, God, I want you to change my husband. God, I want you to change my wife. God, I want you to change that person's attitude. But you're praying in the flesh because you are doing it because you want pleasure from that person and you don't want change and transformation in their life. And God will begin to minister to you when you pray in the Spirit and show you in all occasions how to minister to that person. Come on. My wife, Kim, is a great example of this. She prayed in the flesh for many years. She prayed for me, God, kill him. I'm dead serious. Because she was praying in the flesh. And then God got a hold of her heart and she began to pray in the Spirit. God, help my spirit agree with your spirit and show me how you want to minister to him. And in that process, what she began to do is she began to basically show me the love of Christ in a way that I'd never experienced it before, forgiven me when I was unforgivable, and she stepped in, and her spirit began to grieve with God's spirit, and what happened? God got hold of my heart because the Spirit of God was already at work in my life. He just needed her to come along as the vessel and begin to minister in human flesh to me in the way that I needed to be ministered to and worked in, and as she partnered with the Spirit, my life was changed. Come on. So the Bible invites us to invite those around us to come. Those who are thirsty, those who are hurting, those who are wayward, those who are living in the dark. But I invite you, church, to not minister to people in the flesh, but minister to people in the Spirit. And how we minister to people in the Spirit is we begin to talk to God about people on all occasions. And maybe God is going to help move that person from being a negative 10 to a negative 9. And next time, maybe he's going to minister to another person and move them to a negative 5. Oh, listen. And maybe the next time, whenever the next person shows kindness to him, he's going to minister to them and move them from a negative 2 to a positive 2. And for ever change their life with the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't need to get stuck on stupid. And some of us are stuck in a place where we're thinking, well, God, I'm sharing your word. Keep on sharing your word. Keep on inviting. Keep on ministering to the Spirit. Keep on listening to the Spirit of the living God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. The Bible says we as Christ followers are put on the full armor of God. The enemy is at work in the world, but we're to put on the armor of God, put on the full armor of God, act in faith, use the word of God, pray in the spirit on all occasions, and watch God go to work in the world around us. I'm here to tell you, the seats will be full at every service. There will be overflow in every service. There will be services added if we'll begin to partner with the Spirit in prayer and pray on all occasions and pray what God's doing in people's life and minister to them on his account. Come on. It's an amazing opportunity. But see, it's a responsibility for us to submit ourselves to the God of the universe and begin to not pray prayers of the flesh. God, what I want, but God, what do you want? I can tell you right now that God wants more for you than you want for yourself. Stop praying selfish prayers and start praying in the Spirit and see what God will do in your life and through your life. And by the way, since we're talking about the Spirit, I just want you to know that the Bible says not only should we pray in the Spirit, our whole life should operate in the Spirit. I want to give you a few verses today. You can jot them down. If you can't, you can go listen to the thing on the internet afterwards. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says we're to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, we're to put to death the deeds of the body in the Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, we need to confess Jesus as Lord in the Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, that we're to worship in the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16, that we're to give thanks in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we're to restore a wayward person. Listen to this, in the Spirit. Come on, pray in the Spirit on all occasions and you watch God go to work. Come on. He'll change your family. He'll change your neighborhood. He'll change your city with the goodness of God if you will learn to let your spirit come in line with his spirit and begin to go to work in the world. The next thing I wrote down is, you know what? If we're really going to partner with the Spirit of God, we got to pray in the Spirit, but we have to then play our part. Everybody has a part that belongs to Christ. The Bible says we're a part of a body. Jesus is the head and each one of us are a part. And our assignment is basically on mission with God, to partner with the Spirit of God, to begin to testify and profess who Jesus is to the world around us. And when all the parts come together and get in sync and begin to do that in the right way, the world around us is changed. The Bible says the Spirit of God is unifying us. He's unifying us to be on one sheet of music, to be in one accord, to march to one drumbeat, and to be on mission together. There's diverse parts, and God works in different ways through those parts, but it's the same God working in us all and through us all is what the scripture says. And so I'm inviting you today, if you want to be serious about changing the world, if you truly want to populate heaven, and begin to empty hell, I invite you to begin church, to pray in the Spirit, but make no bones about it, to step up and do your part. Do your part. And stop worrying about everybody else's part and just do your part. Look what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in us all who are Christ followers. A spiritual gift has been given to each of us so that we can what? Help each other. The question should be, help each other do what? And again, I believe it's help each other be on mission with God. Help us partner with the Spirit of God to do what God's doing in the world. Help each other. It says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, that Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. You see why it's so important for us to work together as a body? God's not just working through one of us, He's working through all of us together. And again, it's learning to discern and respect the gifts. It's learning to know that nobody has all the gifts, but somebody has one of the gifts. And it's learning to discern how as a body to put those gifts together so that, everybody say so that. Not so the gifts become greater, but that so that Jesus becomes greater through the gifts in the world, come on, and does mighty and marvelous things. Look what the Bible says. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. I want to tell you right now, and again, she's not always in the flesh right 100% of the time. But my wife has a gift. And if you tell her the Spirit of God said something, she knows how to discern. She knows how to begin to work through that. No. You done gone a little crazy. And God didn't tell you to do that because God didn't say it to me and God hasn't affirmed it through that. And she discerns through all that stuff. And again, it's a high calling, but it's a gift of discernment. And she walks in that gift. And again, many, many times I go to her and I say, you know, I think this or whatever else. And I try to listen to her discernment because she's vital. I have many counselors. I know other people in the body who have the gift of discernment. And many times I'll ask them a question. What do you think God's doing in this moment? Do you think, you know, we should move this way or move that way? Why? It's because, you know, I believe God speaks to His people through His people, but I also believe God speaks to me and He speaks to them. And if we're working in unity as a body, we're all headed in the same direction and we're here for the same mission. And the Bible says this, it says, still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. But it says, it is the one and only Spirit, look at this, who distributes all the gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. See, it's incredible. God invites all of us to pray in the Spirit. God invites all of us to partner with Him and do our part and become a part of a local church, but part of a body, and begin to do His work in the world around us. And I get it. We don't all know what part we're to play from the very get-go. But if we get involved, the Spirit that gives the gifts, because I don't give the gifts. The Spirit gives the gifts. But the Spirit, God gives the gifts. The Spirit of God gives the gifts. And I'm telling you, if you get yourself involved, the Spirit of God will reveal to you and He will reveal to the church you're a part of what that gift is if you keep walking with God and walking in it with God. He will show you on the journey. Again, God supernaturally gives the gifts to people when they're born again, when they're born of the Spirit. When they put their personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says God gives people a spiritual gift. But understand, those spiritual gifts have to be developed. And the way those spiritual gifts are developed is you to get involved and begin to not only use your gift, but do whatever is necessary. Listen to me. Do whatever is necessary for kingdom growth, and then God will show you what your part is as you begin to play that part. And see, some of us aren't willing to serve and do the donkey work. And what I mean by that is I'm not just trying to get you to serve and do the donkey work, but what I am trying to tell you is when you choose to do the donkey work and God, He will begin to reveal to you and those around you what your spiritual gift is, and He'll plug you in where you need to be plugged in, when you need to be plugged in. God is a God who gives the gifts, and God will let you exercise that gift in due season. Come on. But we all have to do our part. And some of us are sitting on the sidelines and say, well, when God calls me or God does this or God does that, I'll do my part. No, start today. Start today. Why do you keep waiting? God gave you the gift when you were born again, but you're failing to step in. And here's some of us are serving in vain. In other words, we're serving and we're bitter and you know we're in the wrong space and place and we're mad and everything else. And I can tell you right now, if the gift that God gave you don't, you know, it's a challenge to operate in the gift, but it should bring joy to your heart for kingdom's sake whenever you serve in the position. Come on, somebody. It brings my heart joy, not for you to get up here and listen to my southern vernacular, but I know I'm operating in my gift. And the reason is, I know, look, when you're in crowds this size, somebody's always gonna walk out of here and say something crazy. But at the end of the day, you know what? I know over and over for 20 years, God has been transforming lives and causing people to step up, exercise their gift, and begin to walk in it. And I've watched him use my gift, and it brings me great joy. Come on. It brings me great joy. And again, I'm inviting you to step into your gift mix. It will bring you the joy of your life. It's not drudgery. It's joy to operate in your gift. It's sometimes difficult, but it's joy. And God says, walk in your gift. Do your part. We want to change the world. We have to pray in the Spirit. We have to play our part. And then I wrote this down. Lastly, we have to be a display of the glory of God wherever we go. A display. So pray, you may write this down, it rhymes. Play and be a display. Pray in the Spirit, play your part, and be in a display of God's glory, God's majesty in your life and through your life wherever you go. In other words, be a person that talks about the glass being half full instead of half empty all the time. God is a God who's a generous God, and he pours in more than you can ever pour out. But do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your resources? Do you trust him with your skills? Do you trust him with your talents? Do you trust him with the mission that he's called you to? And again, there's many ways we can demonstrate our trust. We can do it by participation. We can do it by our giving. We can do it, you know, with all these things. But the Bible says that we need to be a display of God's glory in every situation. See, some of us are praying for a miracle in our life. And I want God to give you those miracles. But again, are you praying for the miracle in the flesh or in the Spirit? Because miracles are for manifestations of God's glory. Let me say that again. The miracles of God in the human life is for a manifestation of God's amazing power and glory. God can step into a dead situation. Jesus was dead, and he can resurrect it to new life if he chooses to do it. But the whole reason he does it is to manifest his power and his majesty and his glory. And so understand, one of the ways you can begin to show God's glory is to see the miracles. But it's not just the big miracles, it's the little miracles. Every single day, God's doing miracles in our life. But oftentimes we think, oh no, I did that. No, you didn't do that. God gave you the help to get up to go to work. That's a miracle. God gave you the job you got. That's a miracle. I know you think you're earning it, but God gave you the position he gave you so that, you know what, you can manifest to the world around him his amazing glory. So do you continually complain about the job you got? Because the reality of it is, that's not the way to manifest God's glory. It's a miracle you got a job. You know how many people in the world don't have a job? And again, you're saying, man, you know, I got to do this. No, you get to do it. And a lot of people say, man, if I had, just keep walking, keep being, keep trusting. The Bible says that we're to manifest and display God's glory everywhere we go. Another way we do this is through our attitude, through our actions, through our attitude. Again, do you show that God is Lord? Do you really show that God is Lord, or there's some other Lord? Because the Bible says we display He is Lord by continuing to walk forward and trust Him, even to the point of suffering. Jesus did it to the point of suffering on the cross. Listen to this, what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, God's purpose in all of this, bringing diversity together, was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And again, I like to tell people all the time, you know what? God has a big audience. It's not just the people around you. The Bible says we're to manifest God's glory to the heavenly places. This was His eternal plan, which He carried out through Christ Jesus the Lord. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18. It says, be careful how you live. Look at your neighbor and say, be careful how you live. Go ahead and tell them. Tell them if you don't mind. Say, be careful how you live. It says, don't live like fools. It says, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Pray in the Spirit. Operate in your gift. And remember to bring God glory. It says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today, you know what? We need to understand that when we walk out of this place, we're on display. Yes, we're all sinners saved by grace, but we're to be saints in this world to transform the world. And so if Christ has come into your life, my friend, and He has deposited the Holy Spirit of God in you, it is to transform you so that you can partner with Him, use your gifts, and change the world. Let's be serious about the invite. Let's be serious about how we speak and how we act wherever we go in life to bring God glory. Let's seek God to partner with a local church and do our part, step in fully. And let's watch God bring change to the world. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to all those who are thirsty, all those who are weary, all those who are worn out, all those who have no hope. The Bible says we give a great invitation through our Lord Jesus Christ and say, come. So if you're here today and you're tired and you're worn out and you've lost all hope, the invitation is come. Come to the foot of the cross. Surrender your life to Jesus. Let Him come in, change you, transform you, and forever give you a hope beyond your current circumstance. My friend, the blood of Jesus Christ is good for anybody. It will begin he died to make you whole. He died to give you purpose. He died to reconnect you to your living God. And again, I don't know what darkness you've got off into. I don't know how far you wandered, but I do know that there's a God who can save you through Jesus. He saved me, and He saved many people in this room. Let me pray, and then we'll worship together. God, I thank You for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place and space today. And God, as we prepare to worship one more time, God, I pray today You would move upon people's heart. Spirit, I know that You're in work in this place, from the top of the room to the bottom of the room. I know You're at work in individual lives, men, women, boys, and girls. God, I pray You'd speak to them today. And God, they would move as your spirit begins to move on their heart. God, they would come, they would pray, they would seek your face, and they would walk out of here forever changed. God, I pray for every partner to do their part. I pray for every person to step in and realize you want to use them to change the world. God, I pray we'll be a church that brings you honor and glory as we step out. Spirit, we invite those who need Jesus, come, 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 come. We pray it in Jesus' name today. Amen.